The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into another week. Thanks for being with us. We will have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. John has been up probably all night and probably looks like hell. He is in the midst of the March Madness run, which the portal opened today in basketball. Of course it did. And there's spring football workouts going on, so John has no life, but he will be with us. Because U of A is meeting Duke, and I've got some thoughts on the tournament I'll get to momentarily. We have a new face show up today, Daniel Rios. Daniel is, in my opinion, a Zoomer in the industry, a riser. We've had a couple risers on this show in the past. A guy named Brock Huard was one of our risers way back in the day. We put him on the air. He didn't really know what he was doing, and we had a great time. And now Brock, of course, is killing it on a national level. We had Justin Toscano. Justin Toscano was a student of mine at Arizona State and became an intern and then worked for us. And then we kicked him out of the nest. And now he is one of the national leading writers at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in Major League Baseball, covering the Braves, and is actually their chapter president down there for the Baseball Writers Association. So he is a Zoomer. Daniel Rios is one of these names you're going to know years from now, if not sooner. And I want it to be sooner. And we're going to talk about the NFL draft. He is a draft Nick. Draft Nicks are people that, I don't want to say they live in basements and they don't go on dates, but it's close. Okay. And it's great. It's fine. I like draft Nicks. I've had draft Nicks, I don't know, all the way back when we got started in this crazy business back in the day. And so we will have Daniel Rios. That will come up at 10:30 on the NFL draft because we're about a month away. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. There's not really much around madness that I could say. Colorado State came down to the end, looked like a travel, didn't get called, they're out. U of A played it well, played it smart for the most part. There were some moments there where they weren't very smart, but when you get into the tournament, it's just survive and advance. It's really what it is. We can sit here and nitpick and all that stuff, but, you know, if you're going to hang on the rim on a, you know, in a one-point game that they ended up winning, it's those little things that are big things, right? So U of A advances, a terrific game to watch, smartly played by both Oregon and Arizona. And then I love the coaching that went on last night. You see Dana Altman doing his things with the Ducks. And so Arizona advances, and they have Duke. We'll talk more about it with John Wilner. I am bothered a little bit by how the layout is now. We are seeing that the transfer portal and NIL are taking over in college basketball. We don't have a George Mason today, right? We don't have a Loyola of Chicago today. I don't think that's by accident. No, it's you're going to pay to get the talent in. And the SEC is getting to the point where we want to have the SEC Disney bracket, and then we have the Big Ten Fox bracket, and then everybody else. And that's where it's going. If you're new to the tournament, let's just say you're in your college years, high school college years, tournaments are great. We get all excited about the madness, and there's the intrigue and the drama that goes on. And then as you get older and you start having kids and life gets in the way, you don't follow the teams as closely. But, hey, there's a betting app. So when CBS sent out a note last night, it's the highest rated opening weekend. What a shock. People are just putting down bets. That's more important than knowing the teams, the backstories, the side stories. I run across guys like, what do you think? Are they going to cover? That's an opening pickup line. What are you talking about? So it is what it is. Did I put down some bets? Sure I did. Do I have a gambling app? Yeah. Don't use it very often. Put down a couple bets. It's fine. Not addicted to it. Not sitting there thinking, am I going to be able to pay the car or pay the mortgage? No, I don't think about that stuff. Some people, they're waking up today saying, I just blew everything. That's the downside of the gambling world that we're in. Just giving you both sides of that piece. So as we're sitting here, and if it becomes an Auburn-Alabama national title game, that's exactly what the SEC wants. The SEC is the evil empire. They are. And there's going to be points in time where these smaller conferences are going to say, why don't we just go do our own thing? You guys can go do this. And we're going to talk to John Wilner in depth about that. Beyond that, the weekend was, I'm not going to sit here and break down the Suns against Milwaukee and how critical it is. Every game's critical at this point because they've been so bad this season. And it doesn't matter that Coach Bud coached against the Bucks. That's a nice angle to talk about for like a nanosecond. They just have to win. Their schedule's really hard. Like a week from now, I think it's going to be, if you can't pass the Warriors as beat up as they are, then you don't deserve to get in the postseason. Let's just leave it at that. I think a week from now, given what their schedule looks like over the next 7 days, we're going to know if they're going to be able to close the gap or make their way into the play-in game. But even in that space, you're just going, I just don't really care. This team has been so disappointing. This team has been heartbreaking. So I am very excited for opening day right around the corner. I saw where Zach Gallen was named the opening day starter. We talked about this the other day. Of course he is. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. Corbin Burns put on the back. How could that be? I don't know. Do you see they're playing the Yankees next week? I'm one of those that does believe that people from above at the MLB offices are like, hey, can you put Burns on the mound at Yankee Stadium because we need some buzz about our sport? I am one of those that believes that. And I don't think I'm too far off on that one. The idea that Torrey Lovello's like, yeah, I made a mistake. It's on me. Like, okay. All this time, and suddenly, somehow, we all screwed up. No, I think the MLB office has called and said, hey, why don't you put Burns on the back end of your rotation? That's, in this day and age in sports, the TV networks do dictate. They do. And the other, the other side story in baseball is this Mookie Betts deal. Mookie Betts has dropped 20 pounds, 20, 25 pounds, depending on where you read. And he's not going to be the Mookie Betts to start out the season. And it's stuff like this, to me, that makes baseball so great over 162 games. There's not going to be a chance that the Diamondbacks are going to catch the Dodgers, from what I'm hearing. But you go play the games and the unfortunate stuff happens. I love Mookie Betts as a player. I'm not sitting here today saying, go Diamondbacks. That's not me. If you ever sense I'm cheerleading for any team on this, just please write me a note and say stop. Or if you see me in person, just be like, what are you doing? You're becoming a cheerleader. That's never been you. I don't care if the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers. I don't. We're not going to say we and us. I want the storylines. I want compelling storylines. Dodgers are a compelling storyline, as are the Diamondbacks. I think they have enough pitching to take down the Dodgers. If I would have told you 2 weeks ago, Mookie Betts is going to have a stomach issue, can't keep anything down, he's lost 20-plus pounds. Oh, no way. I'm a Dodger fan. Yeah, fandom's great. But after this, look at the whole picture of 162 games. All right. Beyond that, it is John Wilner, and then Daniel Rios makes his debut on the show. That is next. It's Monday. It's March Madness, which means John Wilner is hanging on by a thread. You look like you've just been just grinding. I always like seeing you like this. It means Wilner is pounding out like 10 different angles because March Madness has now come to completion. Are you wiped out, John?
Pretty tired. I mean, it's been a long stretch since late August when football starts, right? When you cover both sports, it is a long stretch, and it's harder now than it used to be because there's so much football news unfolding from January all the way through the spring and summer, right? I mean, transfer portal, coaching changes, everything's going on, and then you throw in March Madness. Yeah. I love it. It's fascinating, but I could use a few hours of sleep. Yes, no problem. Maybe June will be quiet.
And having talked with you through the years, sometime in June, I'll be like, yeah, I want to take a break, but I really can't because there's this and there's.
Well, that. Yeah, like that time where I was going to take my son and my niece to go see a movie. The morning of June 30th, 2022, when the whole world ended or changed.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into where March Madness sits today. Do they need to rename it and get the madness out? Because we sit here today, and this is really the world that we're starting to enter into that you and I have talked about through the
year.
It's the dominant conference is the SEC. They are alive. Big 12 has four in there. But, John, there's none of these Cinderellas at all. And the SEC has to be thrilled. It's like, is this going to be the Disney bracket versus the Fox bracket? Is that where we're going with this in the business side?
Could be. We've got the Sweet 16 is seven SEC teams, four from the Big Ten, four from the Big 12, and one from the ACC. It is the first time since the Sweet 16 was created in 1975 that the Sweet 16 has been comprised really of the major football playing conferences. The conference makeups and names have changed over the decades, but this is really it. There's no Cinderellas, there's no mid-majors, there's no football group of fives involved. It's just the heavyweights. And I mean, that to me, it's not as exciting. It is certainly kind of March mundane, in some ways. It's also the first time since 2007 that we haven't had an 11 seed or lower in the Sweet 16. I think that it's the lack of Cinderellas. It's never one thing, right? First of all, it's a small sample size. We recently have had Florida Atlantic and St. Peter's. And, I mean, heck, Yale won a game last year, right?
George Mason.
There's been over the years, for sure. I do think NIL is playing a role because, you know, the big schools have more money in their donor bases. I think the transfer portal is playing a role. I think realignment is playing a role. I mean, if this had happened 2 years ago, BYU represents the West Coast Conference, right? So there's a lot involved, but the trend line, I think, is bad. And the other piece to me that is maybe the most significant is the percentage of at-large bids that are going to the football powers is increasing. This year, only eight at-large bids went to schools that aren't from the Power Four football conferences. So you're not getting the Belmonts and the Davidsons that we used to see. I think that that's where you're potentially losing a lot of the magic that makes it a special event, and we'll see where the trend goes in the next couple of years.
Yeah, the other side of that, though, John, is the television ratings were off the charts, best in years. So why is that? I'll tell you why. Because of gambling. The online gambling, the ability to sit there on this and now put bets down has brought in this huge audience that's been sitting there untapped. And they don't have to know. They don't have to know who's going to be playing. They don't really even care about the storylines of the players, unfortunately, from what I'm finding. All they want to know is my team going to win or lose? And I'm not going to put 20 bones down on Colorado State, even though I thought they got hosed on a traveling call. But, you know, the point is it is just going to be the same groups. And it's only, I believe, only going to get to the point where if you're Colorado State or if you're New Mexico, are you going to say there's got to be another tournament because we're not going to be ever like this ever again?
Well, the issue of the tournament structure in the postseason is certainly worth watching. I think the TV ratings piece is partly attributable to the fact that Nielsen does a better job now capturing the so-called out-of-home market, you know, the sports bars, the phones, all that kind of thing. So it's a more accurate database than it used to be. But yeah, gambling is a huge piece of it. And we will see what happens with the structure. I think one thing to watch is the Crown, the College Basketball Crown. It's a new tournament. It starts next week. Some of the, you know, I think Washington State, Oregon State are in it.
I think Arizona State's
Utah's in it. Arizona State's in it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Bobby's in it.
So it's a Fox creation. And if you are a conspiracy theorist, and I know you are, you could look at the crown as a potential alternative to the NCAA tournament. It is run by Fox, which means it's going to have buy-in from the Big Ten and Big 12. If the power conferences don't get their way with expansion of the NCAAs, if they don't get their way with an overhaul of the revenue model of the NCAA tournament, could they use the crown as leverage or as an alternative to March Madness? It is possible. I don't think that's the intent of the crown, but we now have another tournament that is backed by a major network with ties to the Big Ten and Big 12. Just something for people to watch.
So the NIT is doing this, which it
the has. NIT is doing this. I mean, the CBI, the CIT,
right.
The XYZ, the ABC. I mean, it's hard to keep track of them all. But yeah, the NIT is a shell of its former self. There's too many postseason tournaments. They're not organized. They don't have a single governing structure. That's why there was that mistake with UC Riverside being in two at one point, being committed to two tournaments. But the fact that the crown is backed by Fox makes it different than the others.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Arizona Duke, what do you think?
I think if Arizona makes the same amount of mental mistakes it made against Oregon, it will only lose by 27. You know, there was really some boneheaded decisions they made that could have cost them. I mean, the KJ Lewis technical foul on the dunk, the missed dunk, that one point almost made the difference in the game. I think Arizona's got the athletes and can play and has, if Caleb Love is going well, and he has had some big games against Duke in the past, he's multiple 20-point games against Duke when he was at North Carolina. If Love has a big game, Arizona can take it down to the last 2 minutes. If Love is 4-17, I think Arizona is in gigantic trouble because it doesn't have the scores to keep pace, and Duke is just loaded, right? Cooper Flagg is only one of three lottery picks on their starting lineup. They are loaded. So, and the fact that it's in Newark, which has been kind of Duke's home away from home in the tournament in past years, really tough assignment for the Wildcats.
John Wilner, as always, dropping knowledge. Thanks, John.
Thanks very much, Brad.
All right, the person sitting across from me is Daniel Rios. Daniel is a draft Nick, in my humble opinion. You come across people, and Daniel has been an intern here at Sports 360. And I'm of the opinion that if you see somebody, I don't care about the whole paying your dues thing. That's nonsense. This is a canned business. Either you can or you can't. And Daniel, so far, to me, has demonstrated that he can be a draft guy. This is going to be his first interview on being a draft Nick. It may be a little rough in spots. It's cool. It's fine. But he knows his stuff. He knows his bleep. You were at the combine. You've been following this inside and out. A month out from the draft. And is there a lot of mystery to you at the top of the draft?
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, thank you for the intro. It's great. I mean, this draft is pretty crazy because, you know, the top 15, usually you kind of know about a month out, like, oh, yeah, these 15 guys are coming off the board. Outside of, like, we don't even know who's going one at this point. We don't even know who's going two. It's, like, it's crazy. There's so many moving parts. This first round's going to be crazy and, you know, storyline filled. And, I mean, up to pick 50, I mean, there's going to be quality starters. And this is a starter-heavy draft. Is it going to be a star-heavy draft? We don't know that yet, obviously. But are you going to get a starter in, like, let's say round 4 or 5, 100%. So it's going to be interesting. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of talent. And I mean, like you said, I mean, we're a month out. So, I mean, there's nothing more to be excited about.
It's the lying season, right? So teams are not going to tell you what's going on. Yeah. Oh yeah. We like this guy a lot. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Tennessee, let's just go there. Top of the board from what you see, from what you hear, the people you talk to, the decision between two quarterbacks always feels like it's a quarterback. It's a done deal. It's a quarterback, right?
Yeah, so initially when this process kind of first started, I was kind of hearing that it'd be Abdul Carter going there. But now, you know, with their head coach and all that, and, you know, kind of wanting to – the signing of Dan Mora in this offseason kind of indicates that it's going to be a quarterback. And people kind of went into the combine expecting, you know, will Tennessee move out? It was kind of expected that they'd trade back. But now after kind of leaving it, it's kind of for sure that they'll take a quarterback, and in my eyes at least. Cam Ward, I've heard, is probably the favorite. Callahan over there, he likes him the most. And, you know, Cam Ward, you know, under pressure last season, and we saw it a lot. Outside of the pocket, he can make every throw, very talented. You know, his footwork can kind of be up and down here at times, but I think when there's chaos, I think he can succeed. And I think that's what Tennessee likes. You're going to see a little bit of pressure in Tennessee. The offensive line isn't as good, but there are weapons there with Calvin Ridley. So we'll kind of see what happens there. But I do think Cam Ward is that number one guy.
Daniel Rios, he is a draft, Nick. He joins us here for a couple of minutes. Draft is about a month out. Getting inside and out from his perspective. Arizona kids, let's go right around the board here. T-Mac had his workout last week. How many Arizona angles are you seeing in the first couple of rounds, first couple of days?
Yeah, so, you know, T-Mac, like you mentioned, is that first one. Obviously, I mean, 6'4", 219 pounds. I mean, he's big body receiver. You know, you like to line up as that X guy, go up and get it. With him, it's, you know, originally he was, you know, seen as a top 10 pick, you know, that for sure number one guy. But as we've kind of gone through this process, you kind of see it. There are these guys in the spring that you don't really call them, you know, spring guys who are going to excel in the spring. And T-Mac is unfortunately one of those guys where he's going to work out and he's not going to, you know, wow you with his speed. He's not going to wow you with, you know, maybe some of his measurables. I mean, 6'4", 219 to me is something that wows me, but to front office says it's, you know, when he runs a 4.45, what it was reported at his workout is, you know, Daniel Jeremiah last week put out a good tweet of historically receivers that run that speed don't get drafted in the top half of the first round. So we'll kind of have to see what happens there. But I mean, you talk about it, he's one of those players where it's just, he knows where to position himself on those deep balls. He has a feel for, you know, zone coverages. He knows when to kind of sit in spots. So it's going to be really interesting for a guy like him and where he kind of ends up. But I think in terms of Arizona kind of players that can kind of go in that first round, I think it's, you know, kind of him alone. And then I think Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame, cornerback. He went high school here. He went to Brophy High School. He's a guy who, again, spring's going to kind of hurt him a little bit because he missed the final 10 games due to a hip injury. So it kind of sucks that he wasn't there for that, you know, championship run. It would have been great to see him play against Jeremiah Smith in that championship game. That would have been, you know, he really could have boosted his stock a little bit there. But he's a guy who instantly came onto the scene in 2022, six interceptions, made the freshman All-American team for ESPN, The Athletic, and 247 Sports. So, I mean, he's a guy who he won't wow you with his coverage. Maybe he won't wow you with his feet, but his ball instincts, he can go get an interception. 9 interceptions in 31 career games. He's special. So it's going to be kind of interesting. A lot of the top cornerbacks in this class, you mentioned Morrison, obviously is hurt, but Will Johnson was hurt this year. Maxwell Hairston out of Kentucky was hurt as well this year. So a lot of guys who we kind of see as these top guys in the cornerback class, they all didn't really have a healthy 2024, but it's kind of that tricky game with, you know, these front offices. Are you going to let the injury scare you, or are you just going to kind of, you know, let the tape speak for itself? So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
Talking with the draft, Nick, Daniel Rios here for a couple of minutes. Draft just now a month away. Tyler Shuck, a lot of mystery, a lot of intrigue. I've known Tyler since he was over at Hamilton High School here. I've seen his journey. I think it was committing to North Carolina, decommitting North Carolina, to Oregon, to Texas Tech, to Louisville. He wanted to go to ASU. They were asleep at the switch. So it's just been an amazing journey. And Daniel, I think he's handled his business the right way in that the idea of he's too old for the NFL is actually backwards thinking from my point of view. It's no, you're mature. He's married. He actually isn't going to be someone who's going to be out screwing around and getting himself in trouble in all likelihood or having to be adjusted to that. His stock, has it risen to the point where he's a second day guy?
Oh, 100%. You're hearing normally. I mean, you ask anyone about Tyler Shuck, and it's second round at this point. It just matters how high our team's gonna, look to take him, or how late. I mean, I don't expect him to go in the third round at all. I think he's a for sure second round guy. I mean, you look at him. I mean, his frame is it just screams NFL quarterback. 6'4", 6'5", stands tall in the pocket. I mean, he's the most NFL-ready quarterback, in my opinion, in this draft. I mean, you look at it, you look at other guys like Shador, you look at other guys like Cam Ward. I mean, his processing speed, Shador may be able to rival that a little bit, but I think his processing speed, his understanding of, he talked about it at the combine. I mean, when he was at that podium, he's going through to us saying that all these different systems, I mean, you mentioned his age. He's been through different colleges, he's been through different coaches. His ability to go to get to the line, and he, like I said, talked about the combine. He gets to the line. He's like, he has the freedom in college to audible to a run. He knows when, hey, this look isn't good for this pass play we want. Let's get into a run here. Let's get into, a play that'll get us 3, 4 yards. And that's the maturity that I think is what separates him from everyone else. Is he's not looking to make the Cam Ward rolling out to my right. Let me make a 40-yard down the field across my body throw that's gonna wow everyone. That's cool. But are you gonna be able to say, hey, I don't like this look. I don't like they're playing a, too high here. I don't like this coverage. Let's check into a run. Let's get a light. We have a light box. Let's get it for sure 5 yards on second down. And those are the things that he talked about that, kind of wow me. It's like that maturity, like you talked about. I mean, to come in there day one and be a starter, you need to have that kind of mindset. And I think it's only helped him. I mean, he said that in his meetings, no one's talked about his age. I mean, are we going to see a team like, I mean, one of those teams who has a quarterback, like the Dolphins or like, the Rams or
Buffalo.
that.
I think Buffalo, and talking with Tyler, you look at Buffalo and go hold a clipboard and a ball cap behind Josh Allen. That's not a bad situation to be in to get your career off and running.
No, it's not. It's not for sure. I think it's really good for him to, sit back and learn from a guy like that. I think what fans and people will get caught up in is, yeah, he's 26 when the season starts, but so what? Sit behind, Josh for a year, sit behind Pat Mahomes for a year, sit behind whoever for a year. It's not going to matter. And if a team like, the Browns or Titans decide to come back in round two to, maybe get an Abdul Carter round one and come back and get an NFL caliber guy in round two, I mean, he's ready for it. He's proven that he can step up to the plate. And that's, I think, what excites me a lot about him.
I think it's also where do you fit? I'll go back to Brock Purdy. Sitting with Brock on draft night, and he gets the phone call from the 49ers, and it ends up being a perfect situation for him just to sit there rather than, as we see with a lot of these quarterbacks, they go into a space where they get their heads kicked in, the game gets knocked out of them, they lose all their confidence, all of a sudden they don't know how to play, and they're out of the league within 5, 6 years, or they become journeymen. So, the fit there I think is important. Before I get you out of here, Camp Scataboo, what are you hearing?
I mean, everyone loves the guy. I mean, he forced 103 missed tackles this past season. I mean, that doesn't get you off your feet. I mean, I don't know. He's a for sure day two guy. One thing people want to see is his 40. Obviously, that's his one, knock as a player is just that top end speed. But I don't think it's going to matter. Obviously, we've seen in the NFL now. I mean, you have multiple running backs in your backfield. So whoever he goes, it'll be special, but for sure day two guy, real stocky build as we've all seen here in Arizona. And he's a special talent.
Good stuff there, Daniel Rios, the draft Nick. See you around, all right?